The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We're here with Ireland Gateway to Europe, and part of the delegation is Bernard Dunn, world champion boxer, of course. Bernard, conas tathu.
Agamal cara, agus tosa.
Yeah, air out. And was it a buntana of us in Boston?
Tosh air out, like, yeah, it gone out, like, you know, to my beautiful land in on shock, just, you know, us, you know, just, you know, can't a different rule, I was just talk to her. Tá cacht ina gomad, like, yeah.
And will tú ita chóni sa start einte in ish?
No, vi me in America, vi me fanacht in LA.
Okay.
Yeah, but ak vi me trade and shot, like, in Foxwoods.
Oh
yeah. Vi cúpla trade go me own, like, you know, but yeah, no, vi se gomad.
Yeah, well, listen, Peter Bear Tarashim, Mark Yellardini, a geish duct, a while, yeah. So, what brought you on the trip?
Aidy McGuinness, really. You know, Aidy was telling me about the trip, telling me about the people who were coming, telling me about just the potential of it and the opportunities. And I was glad to come. I spoke in Toronto, so spoke to a group in a law firm. And yeah, it's been a really interesting trip, because I mean, just people from so many different backgrounds involved in so much, so many varied businesses, and just, you know, get different perspectives and stuff.
Yeah, what I was interested in, actually, when you spoke was the questions from the floor, actually. What kind of things were all of these business leaders wanting to get out of Bernard Dunn? And it was similar things. I guess it was the kind of... What I got from it, or my interpretation, I wonder what you think, was that what they were seeking to tap into was this idea of high performance, and whether high performance in sport could translate in some way to high performance in business.
It translates very easily. You know, the systems and the structures and kind of the way you set up high performance systems works tremendously well in business. And, you know, it's so translatable. And just when you look at just some of the simple things we spoke about, like recovery, and how important that is for you as an individual to be able to perform at the highest level, and just giving them, I suppose, a little bit of an understanding of what high-performing athletes do. I hope it was translatable for them and you understood what I was trying to get to.
You talked as well when you were in Macmillan and the law firm in Toronto about, you know, different things you've done, and you mentioned being in India, and it takes maybe kind of a certain type of individual to kind of decide, right, my next project is going to be high performance boxing in the kind of Southeast Asia or the Indian subcontinent. How did that come about?
I just think my wife wanted to get rid of me, if I'm honest, because she was the encouraging factor behind it all. I had left the Irish system, and I had taken a break for a while, and they'd been approaching me for about 8 months, trying to get me to go over, and saw it as just a huge opportunity for me to learn, to get an opportunity. Like, I'm a young kid from Neilstown, and all of a sudden you've got a country with 1.6 billion people, and they're looking for you to lead their system. And yeah, it was great. It was great just to try to, I suppose, for me to integrate into their culture, and then try to make the changes that I felt were required for them to be successful.
Yeah, because you kind of almost touched on it there. The next thing I was going to ask is, how much can you go in and just decide, right, here's what worked in the Irish High Performance Unit, let's just impose that? Or how much do you need to listen and say, actually, they've got a different culture around sport or boxing or whatever it happens to be, and that has to inform the system too?
Yeah, like a huge problem with high performance is, you know, it's all about results, and it's all about being instant results. Whereas when you really want to change culture and have a longer term impact, you want to get in, you want to observe, you want to listen, you want to see everything that's going on, and then make subtle changes, you know, rather than actually just coming in with a hammer and trying to break everything up. So it was kind of a balancing act, really. And like, just for me, the knowledge and experience and just the fun I took out of it was incredible, yeah.
You must have been over it back a bit, but I mean, did you live over there pretty permanently?
I was on my own in India. Yeah, myself and...
What was that like?
It was amazing. I was working hard. I had 10 wild dogs trained around my apartment. They were keeping me company, so they kept me sane. And my son came over and lived with me for 3 months, which was brilliant for him and for me, for very selfish reasons for me, for him, just to get to experience another culture and people. But it was challenging. That was probably the biggest challenge, being so far away from home, because it's over a day trip to get back to Ireland. So it's I didn't get back too often.
But you've always, and we mentioned it there about, you know, you've fought here in Boston, you lived in LA. It's kind of, I guess, being a professional boxer as well, there's an element of the kind of itinerant lifestyle, isn't there, moving around?
I've been travelling since I'm like 13, 14 years of age. Actually, one of my first competitions would have been in Canada. And it was great when we were in Toronto with Gateway, because my dad boxed in the 1976 Olympics in Montreal, yeah. And I was kind of able to tell a story around that. And, you know, looking at the Irish Family Park that they had in place in Toronto, and that anybody who comes to Toronto, I would encourage them to go see it, because just the impact that it had on me listening to the tour was incredible. I've been travelling since I'm a very, very young age, so being away from home is not something new.
And what are you up to at the moment? What's keeping you busy beyond Ireland Gateway to Europe for the last few days?
80 has a way to keeping everybody busy, in fairness to him. Like, it's, but I'm enjoying things. I'm enjoying being home. I'm enjoying being with the family. I'm doing some advisory consultancy bits with companies around high performance. Little bits of coaching, again, in business. But yeah, overall, just enjoying life. I've actually a radio doc series coming out on Sunday. Sunday, yes. So I did a radio doc with 8 episodes. Kind of encouraging, trying to encourage younger people, I suppose, to understand what it takes to get, I suppose, to the top, the challenges that you face, you know, and the resilience you need. It's not all sunshine and happy music, you know. Yeah. It's there's challenges along the way, and kind of been how you can deal with those and challenge those.
You mentioned, and the final thing I want to ask you is about, we kind of started Oscailge, and you told a story, and I hadn't been aware. I knew you were Gaelgor, and you spoke the language, but I didn't realise how it came about. And it was a story, a random kind of moment on the street in LA. Was that it?
Yeah, I was walking down Santa Monica Boulevard, so on Tour Street Promenade. And I heard all these different languages, and when they had to converse in English, they did, and then went back to their own language, and a real embarrassment just came upon me, I have to say. I had no language at the time. I'd failed Irish in school, no fault of the school, but I trained before school from 13, 14 years of age, so Irish was always my first class, and that was the class I suffered. So I bought a book and a CD on the top of Tour Street Promenade in Barnes & Noble, and I started to self-teach. But then when I retired, I made a decision that I was going to go into the language, and that there's probably nothing more important to me than, you know, using, I suppose, my own tongue.
Why? What do you get out of it?
It connects, you know. I suppose it's probably all the travelling that I've done, that you want to reconnect with your land, you want to reconnect with your country. It's a part of your identity, it's a part of, I suppose, it's who I am as a person. And I raised my kids through the language. Both my kids are big Gaelgors, and I think it's a gift that I've given my children, that they've got their own tongue.
Bernard, Garmila Margot.
Margot Farah. Gar, Slán.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.